Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him. So I see him getting himself in good condition so that he could fire back. Never been one to say die. Never been one to hide out. He comes on damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, you have to talk to my lawyer on that one.
The wire-haired wonder. What can I say? Mr. Hall of Fame himself, the world's greatest promoter, talking smack about me. Not really. Don King. I miss him. Of course, I called him a couple of months ago. I called him a couple of weeks ago. The most I can get on him is like one or two sentences. Here's a guy that's like, we had a post-fight press conference one night at the MGM Grand, and he talked for 2 hours and 15 minutes. I mean, straight, without missing a beat. I kid you not. Of course, if I wasn't getting paid to sit there, I would have left. But the bottom line is I was getting paid to sit there. Hey, let's talk boxing. Let's bring in one of my good buddies as far as boxing. And turn on your mic over there. I'm talking about Mr. Primetime, Eddie Croft, of course, the former WBC regional champion at 122 pounds. Now a trainer with B Street Boxing down there in San Mateo, California, of course. And I like a Michi's. You ever go to a Michi's Pizza around the corner there?
I do. It's been a little while, but yeah, I like it. I like a Michi's.
It's nice thin pizza. Not yep. You don't get real fat on it. You know what I mean? I like those big thick crust pizzas. You know, that's not what you get.
It's a good thin crust.
It's a good thing. Anyway, how's B Street Boxing doing? What got you into training kids? I mean, you're a good fighter, but not a lot of good fighters become good trainers.
You know what? It's something that I have done since I was a kid, right? I taught kids when I was 14, taught kids karate growing up, and that's, you know, basically what I've been doing since, training and teaching. And so I knew that once I was finished boxing, I was going to do that.
Okay. Pound for pound right now, Canelo Alvarez is the king of boxing, both in pay-per-view as far as, I mean, he's the guy that makes all the money. He's the guy that calls the shots right now. Who would the number two guy be in your mind?
As far as pound for pound or pound box pound. Office draw?
We'll go to box office draw later.
Pound for pound, I personally like Crawford. I like the way he fights.
How many tickets can he sell?
Well, that's another issue.
That was a nice way how you answered that, but I'll ask you, Eddie Croft, my guest here, of course, the trainer of Mr. Steven Johnson. He's the United States featherweight champion. I said world featherweight champion. That's what he hopes to be in some time in the near future.
One day.
But answer that.
It depends on where the fight is, honestly. I mean, if they do it in Omaha, he's probably sell about 50,000 tickets.
Oh, you got what, at $2 a pop?
$50.
Come on, Omaha. The guy's not even a star in Omaha. He couldn't sell 9,000 seats in Omaha. He did, though. But they had to give away seats. Mm. They were like giving them away. In other words, look, that's all fine and dandy. You sell 9,000 seats at home, but if you can only come up with a gate of $25, it's not worth anything.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
I'm saying, right? No, but I agree with you, and I perfectly understand the economics of the sport and in our business. And going back to what you were saying about the Mayweather-McGregor fight, yes, I did buy it. Yes,
oh!
Hold on. Yes, I did know it was a farce. No, I did not take it seriously, but I am in the industry, and when one of my fighters is on pay-per-view, I want people to buy it. So I feel not obligated, but I'm part of the industry, so I want the revenue to keep circulating.
And I agree with you. I support boxing. I mean, as far as DAZN and ESPN thing is concerned, a friend of mine was changing email addresses every month in order to get a free month of DAZN. You know what I'm talking about down there in Las Vegas. Okay, but you know, that's you can't support the game doing like that. Manny Pacquiao. Is he the box office king of boxing right now as far as
he's the second behind.
He's 42 years old.
Well, I mean, but look, look at his body of work. So I mean, you have to respect the legend. So you just have to. No matter how much I rooted against him most of the time.
Didn't common sense tell you he was going to lose those fights? I mean, he kept moving up in weight. Well, and here's a guy that debuted at 107 pounds. So, in other words, size matters in my mind. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. Okay? So, this is combat sports. You see my point there?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And, you know, I always felt, well, yeah.
Come on, Ed. Eddie Cross, our guest here. I'm trying to pry stuff out of Eddie. It's not too tough. Eddie, is your wife listening on the phone? Listen.
No.
He is the greatest husband in the history of boxing. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Eddie Cross is such a class act, and I'm so proud to have him here. In fact, I told him earlier, I said, I'm just proud of the way he's, like, developed and involved into a nice young man and trainer and running the B Street Boxing down there, of course, in San Mateo, California. I got nothing but accolades for you. I really don't. And you fought the very best that there was to fight. Yikes.
Yeah, you know what? And that's one thing that, you know, look, I came into this sport, you know, I'm almost 52. I'll be 52 on the 24th next Saturday, or this coming Saturday.
Okay.
And, you know, I started like just, I was a little bit younger than Steve, right? And, but, you know, I grew up in martial arts, so, you know, I had a background in combat sports, and I knew, like, basically how to fight. So, once I learned the distance and just, you know, the speed of the game in boxing, I kind of got a chance to excel. So, I just felt like, you know, coming into my career and just, you know, growing up in the local club scene, I learned a lot, right? I learned a lot just of what not to do, which, you know, certain things happen to me, which, you know, I'm going to try to protect my guys from. And, you know, like, I don't regret anything that happened. And you know what? I did, like, a lot of stuff, and I had a career that you know what, many people would, like, just kill for.
You know, what's funny is that you and Richard Duran, you fought Richard Duran at one point in time, and Richard Duran was the California amateur champion. You know what he weighed? One night we're roommates. Let's go to a break after this. One night we're roommates. We're going to fight at the Olympic Auditorium down there in Los Angeles, California, right? So I go to bed at 140 pounds. I got to weigh 139. So I go to bed. You're sweating a little bit. Like, well, you got to win off a pound. He went to bed 118 and a half pounds. He had to fight 112 pounds. And when he woke up in the morning, he was 112 pounds. He spit all, he had Gatorade gum, and he laid at the side of the bed, and he slept all night, and he kept spitting. I was laughing at him the whole 9 yards. He made 111 and a half pounds the next morning. How do you do that? In boxing.
There's crazy ways.
Oh, yeah, we can get in. I know they stung vacuum cleaners up the wrong end of guys and that kind of stuff. All kinds of crazy
right,
stuff
let's
to make weight in
one.
The world of boxing. Next up, in the spotlight, who we hear, of course, on twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and, of course, Ring Talk Live worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217. The future of boxing, Stevie Johnson. United States featherweight amateur champion in the house here on Ring Talk Live World right after the break. WBC Boxing TV, check out the website, WBCBoxing.com. Funk the dumb stuff.
Nobody hurt me, but I know who hurt you, bum, goofy. Remember this? Rolly Romero f***ed you up in sparring. Is this you, Ryan Garcia? Is this you getting touched up? Is this you bleeding? Is this you running? Because it sure the f*** looks like you. Your promoter, Oscar De La Fishnet, don't even believe in you. Do you want proof? Here you go.
Ryan's ready for tape?
No. Oscar, my little boy, Tank is a beast.
Tank is a beast? And you're an Instagram dot. Remember that.
Listen, Ryan Garcia wants to fight you.
No, the f*** he don't. He gonna get
f***ed
up.
If Ryan Garcia can beat Rolly, I give him 200,000 cash.
Are you ever gonna pick up that 200 from Floyd? Or do you wanna stay ducking? Because you know you got little boys and little girls as your main fan base. You a bum.
Well, I thought I'd bring in a little controversy into the show here. Of course, we're about to bring in the United States featherweight champion, Mr. Stevie Johnson. Steve, the reason why I welcome you to the show, you're a local kid and fighting out of the B Street Boxing, but you come to us from the Fillmore.
Yes, sir.
One of the great, great neighbors in the city by the bay. Tell me about your background.
I grew up in San Francisco for the most part of my life. I started training at B Street Boxing in about 2016. That's where I really started to learn how to develop my skills. And ever since then, I've just been taking it hard.
Okay, now, boxing isn't your entire life. You do other things. Tell me about your other ventures.
I'm also a personal trainer. I train about 10 different young kids and also a couple of older women. So I do that for the most part. That keeps me pretty entertained.
Older women? Like Pedro's age?
Like Pedro's age? Maybe, Pedro, maybe.
Maybe.
I can introduce you to some people.
That's a good response to you. Eddie, sharp kid here. Good response. Go on, continue.
But yeah, I do that, and that keeps me pretty entertained and focused and still keeps me in the boxing world. While also my dad, he owns a hibachi rice restaurant in Oakland at Lake Merritt. So I work there on weekends, and that keeps me also really productive. And
Eddie tells me you're one of the most humble, guys in the entire world. Why is that?
I keep to myself. Like, I'm a really outspoken person. Like, I have an opinion and I do like to share it. But at the same time, I know it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of focus to get to my level and to continue to stay on this level and, you know what I mean, become world champion one day or go to the Olympics. So if I just talk a lot and boast a lot, it ain't going to get me much far compared to keeping my head down.
Okay, I got to ask you this one question, because in the amateurs, I got robbed. They put a gun to my head a few times. I mean, I knocked guys down. Remember, I knocked guys down twice in a fight, just destroyed guys and lost fights. Have you ever been robbed, just totally robbed, where you're saying to yourself, I can't believe it?
I've had situations like that, yeah. I've had at least two situations where I just couldn't believe it at all. It's where I was kind of like discouraged for a minute. But I picked up my head. Me and my team, we keep pushing. I got to remember, it's the amateurs. A lot of it counts, but a lot of it doesn't really at the same time.
Meaning?
Meaning in the way like, so I'm elite now. That means I fight 18 to 40. But prior to that, I was a youth and a junior. And that's where I had a lot of my my robberies and situations like that. But those situations don't really define me. You know what I mean? That's your practice time. Those are practice runs. It doesn't matter until you turn elite, until you turn professional, to when the wins and losses really start to develop your future.
Okay. United States Championship, fighting for the U.S. title is a bit of blood, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, fighting for Golden Glove Championships is a lot of pressure. You fight for U.S. title, you just magnify the pressure. I mean, what was it like?
It was a big deal, but I kept my calm for the most part. I will honestly say I didn't have any nerves throughout the whole tournament. I didn't have
one
day.
Do you take drugs?
No.
Okay, you just check it.
But I just kept supreme confidence.
You know, Ryan Garcia's got some anxiety problems.
You know, that's him.
Eddie Cross laughing in the corner here. Go on.
Boxing, that's my anti-depression. I don't need anything else. But, throughout the whole tournament, I had my father with me, Steve Johnson Sr., and he's a master motivator. He kept me motivated the whole time, kept my brain focused and pumped, and then I put in the work throughout the whole training camp with Eddie and my team. So I went in there and I didn't feel nervous at all, honestly. I just knew I had a mission, I had a goal, and I came to achieve it.
Man, the only time I didn't feel nervous, the guy made me pay desperately. I don't even want to talk about it, but he made me pay. I paid greatly that day. I beat him up in the gym. You trying to tell me I'm sorry? Yikes. It was a yikes night, no doubt about that. Pound for pound, who do you think the best fighter in boxing is right now?
Canelo Alvarez.
Okay. Number two?
Number two, that's when things get tricky.
Okay.
I like Errol Spence Jr., and I also do like Terrence Crawford.
Okay. Is Errol Spence Jr. going to beat Manny Pacquiao?
Yes.
Easily?
I think there'll be some trials throughout the fight, but I feel he'll come out with a unanimous decision.
Wouldn't you like to fight a guy that flipped out of a car at 105 miles an hour, though? That would be something I'd be saying, car wreck, car wreck, car wreck, flashbacks.
Who wouldn't? Mentally, that's a lot, you know what I mean? But they do say he's fully recovered and that somehow he didn't break any bones. I don't know. I'm not TMZ, so I can't really tell you the facts. But
you know what I would do if I was in the other corner? I would pay a screeching, some accident, like loud something like this. You know, mess with
reinforcing trauma. Course,
he's taking on the Filipino phenom, that I've picked to lose a lot of fights, and he's won. So I've been wrong with Manny Pacquiao a lot. Mm. How come I've been wrong on Manny Pacquiao? Besides me being stupid, but why is it so easy to pick against Manny Pacquiao and he's moving up in weight? I mean, he was surprising everybody.
It's easy to doubt him, one, because he's fairly old now these days. But throughout his whole career, he's always been the smaller man. He's always been the underdog, in a way. You know what I mean? And he's taken on major challenges you wouldn't even think are humanly possible. Mm-hmm. From fighting from one, I think 108 all the way to 154.
107 and three quarters.
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy if you really think about it. But Manny Pacquiao, he comes from a lot. He comes from a lot of struggle, a lot of self-discipline. You know what I mean? So I feel like he has the spirit to fire through anything. So he could win.
Except President Duwalemi. He should not mess with this dude because I tell you about Duarte. He, I knew Nino, I knew President Aquino, Corazon Aquino, our protector general, was a cop, okay? So she was a very nice lady, president of the Philippines. She became president because her husband was killed by Ferdinand Marcos, okay? Mm, yep. He stepped one step off the plane and they killed him. Manny Pacquiao is lining himself up to get killed, Eddie. You don't think so? Yeah, you go, man. This guy drops people out of airplanes for smoking weed.
It's different, though. I mean, he does that. He does kill drug dealers in the Philippines. But those, unfortunately, for those people, they are fairly anonymous, where Manny Pacquiao is a world figure. So if Duarte tries to drop Manny Pacquiao out of a plane, there'd be a, you know, serious uproar.
True,
about
but
that.
Nino Aquino was the people's president. He was like the Muhammad Ali of the Philippines.
And but that's of the Philippines.
And I mean, that's different. I agree. Aquino, and because look, I remember that, and you know, I'm 50, almost 52. I remember, you know,
52 on the 24th,
right? Yeah. So like, I remember those things. You know, I remember when, you know, people would make jokes. Hey, I know where Marcos, you know, buried his gold, and you know, I remember all those things. And the funny thing is, you know, years later, you know, I met, you know, someone whose family worked for Marcos, you know, and they had a lot of money. Right?
That's the trickle-down economy.
The trickle-down economics.
Trickle-down economy works in the Philippines. What's the toughest part about boxing? What is the toughest? Is it the road work? Is it the training? Is it the mental? What is it? What do you think is toughest?
This is a two-part answer. One, dieting. That's always difficult, but because it's something that you have to hold for a long time, and there's never really an off-break of it. You got to make sure you're always within a certain weight range and a certain shape. But other than, like, the physicality of it, it's the mental aspect, honestly. Because being a boxer is hard, you know? Most boxers don't really come from a strong economical family or just a lot of options throughout life, you know? So you got to keep yourself really focused while the world maybe seem like it's passing you by. But you're really just putting in a lot of work to catch up later on.
Stevie Johnson, you still go to school?
Yes. Well, I actually just finished high school. And I attended college for about 6 months, but right now I'm taking a break.
Okay. What would your interest be as far as school is concerned?
Business. I took a business class. I did that for, like I said, about 6 months, and I really just felt like I need to focus more on my boxing and my family and situations like that.
Okay. Eddie, is this a new breed of boxer? I mean, totally focused, got his life together as far as the background's concerned. I mean, the father, the good team, this and that. I mean, this is the key to success. But in the past, we've had, you know, the Gervonta Davis trip to success, you know, through car accidents and assaults and all kinds of crazy stuff. But he seems to be leading a polar opposite of that.
Well, you know, I mean, we're always going to have a little bit of both, you know. Boxing is going to have people coming from oppressed backgrounds, you know, and, you know, tough struggles, and sometimes we'll have a little wildness with that, right? Yeah. And, you know, but then, look, we got other people like Steve or like myself, you know, like me. I'm a suburban kid, right? I grew up in the suburbs, went to school, my parents owned a house, I'm an only kid, right? And, I mean, I became a content, you know, like a world championship, a world class fighter, and I don't see it as anything new. It's just, you know, people get a chance to see it more, you know, just they'll look at it more often now.
What are your goals, Stevie, as far as a fighter's concerned, as a boxer's concerned? What are your goals?
I hope to be a 2024 Olympian. Honestly.
Even after the Olympics are going on now.
Yeah, but
what, did two guys go for the United States?
For me.
Nah, we had a bigger team.
We have a full team of 10.
Full team.
The situation that had happened, I believe, was so the Olympic team was remade. A lot of people had got kicked off and removed due to the trials being so different than what people expected. A lot of up-and-coming fighters won and beat the reigning champions in those divisions. For example, like a Charlie Sheeny, he was currently going to be the 138-pound Olympian. But due to the qualification tournaments being canceled via Corona, a lot of them weren't able to qualify to make the Olympics due to they had no world ranking. So they had to rely on turning pro.
They went back to the guys that,
so that's who went pro.
That were turning or had already had one pro fight or two pro fights that had enough points, under the international ranking system. Mm-hmm. They inserted them onto the U.S. team.
Okay, yeah. a minute and a half before the break. First, Eddie Crawford, pros be fighting in the Olympics?
You know what? It depends. It's a really different sport. It's
a yes or no question.
I don't have an issue with it. Yes.
Should pros be fighting in the Olympics?
No.
Why?
I don't think. Not to say necessarily that it's fair, but it's too much going on. The Olympics, I feel like, is an amateur decision. It's an amateur field. There shouldn't be professionals jumping in and out of the amateurs to professional leagues, because there's a lot of young amateurs coming up. That age gap is too different, and experience levels is too different to compare.
Okay, you guys want to stick around for another segment?
Sure.
Okay. Eddie Croft and Stevie Johnson, U.S. featherweight champion, is in the house. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. This is the Tower of Power, back 1993 with Tom Bowes on lead, an entire Caucasian band, believe it or not, Tower of Power back then.
Sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight. Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
As Eddie Croft holds his hand over his eyes there, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Of course, the president of the World Boxing Council, Mauricio Sulaiman, is in San Antonio for the Charlo fight last night. Of course, the unification match at 154 pounds. They ended in a split draw. Somebody sent me a text. What is a split draw? A split draw is when one judge goes with one judge goes with one fighter, another judge goes with another fighter, and the third judge calls it even. One judge had a 117-111, Nelson Vasquez. I'm going to repeat that name again and again and again and again because he should never get another job his entire life. 117-111, he had a bad night, not on national television, pal. Sorry. 8-3 in rounds. That was a lot closer than that. In fact, my guy, my Socrates Palmer, I use his objective scorecard. He hit a 7-5 for Brian Castano last night over the lesser of the Charlo brothers. Of course, the bigger Charlo, 160-pound Charlo, Jamal, says he wants to fight everybody but Canelo Alvarez. I don't want to be the king of boxing. You don't want to fight the king? Sorry, pal. Ain't going to work that way. So we've got two guests in the studio, Primetime Eddie Croft and Stevie Johnson, the U.S. amateur featherweight champion, of course, crowned a couple of weeks ago. Where did you pick up that title? Where's the tournament at?
Lubbock, Texas.
Lubbock, Texas?
Yeah.
What'd you think of Lubbock?
I hated it. I'm a city dude. I really like tall buildings. I like mountains and I like hills. It's everything of the opposite. It's dry, flat, and
I thought you were going to go a little further. I've been to Texas. Never. I didn't fight in Texas. I fought in Nevada. I fought in Wyoming once. That was a little weird. That was really weird. But the bottom line is, Texas is Texas. And it's a little different down there, okay?
Yeah.
And they carry themselves a little bit differently now.
For sure.
You went, what?
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different world. So you win the amateur championship down there. What were you thinking did you win this fight in a stoppage or a decision? Did you know what was going on before it happened or what?
I won it in a 4-1 split decision. So out of all five judges, four of them gave me the fight.
What was that fifth judge thinking?
I don't know.
That's what I always say to myself, man. Mark Ratner used to run the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and I used to say to him, I said, Darby Shirley had it like 7-5 I go, and it was an 11-1 fight the other way. What's going on? He goes, Pedro, just as long as the right guy wins, don't worry about it. Well, you know, I mean, come on. Bad scores are bad scores.
Yeah, bad scores are bad scores for sure. And I would have loved to take a 5-0 victory, but I still feel like it was a 5-0 victory for me. The whole experience, like, I knew I won. I was pretty confident at the end of the fight. I looked into my corner, and I felt like I executed my game plan exactly the way I should have. And I knew as long as I did that, the victory was mine.
I knew I won when I looked at my mother. When I looked at mom, she was like, yeah. I said, one time, I remember that one time at robbery, she was like, I can't believe it. That's my big mouth mother in the background. I can't believe it. Yeah. My mom was my, like, cheerleader.
Yeah, not for sure. I wish my mother was there at the time.
Well, yeah, it's just mothers are, you're lucky you've got your father, man.
Yeah.
I mean, be blessed you've got that. Okay, pound for pound, let's talk about some of the best fighters in the world, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Teofimo Lopez, lightweight champion. How good is he?
Dangerous.
Dangerous?
Dangerous.
Undefeated, 13 fights, man.
That's a bad man.
Deserves to be the world lightweight champion, or was that a fluke beating Lomachenko?
No, sir. It was earned. It was earned. I feel like Lomachenko, throughout that whole fight, he had issues dealing with Lomachenko, Teofimo Lopez's power, for one, and his focus level was just way more intense than Lomachenko the fight.
All right. Same to you. Gervonta Davis. Gervonta Davis the real deal, and what weight is he at his best? 135, 130, or 140? Because he's got titles at all three different weights.
You know what? Probably the one in the middle, 135. And right now, I do see him as the best lightweight with Teofimo next.
Oh, Teofimo's number two?
Yeah.
Okay. The guy that he fought at 140 pounds was handled by Virgil Hunter, Marcos Bredis or something like that. Anyway, but I can't remember the guy's name. I'm losing.
Mario Barrios.
Mario Barrios.
You know what? Mario... I love the kid.
He's wonderful.
I have none but respect for him, and you know what? He's a pretty bad dude.
No doubt about it. I mean, he was winning a fight that people gave him hardly no opportunity to win.
No chance to win. And you know what? Sure. Could he have done better? Sure. It was his first, like, huge fight, you know, against one of the pound-for-pound best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... Like, you know what?
But he was up 5-0 after five rounds. Looking at my little scorecard, I'm saying to myself,
"Wow, I didn't see it that way. You know what? After five rounds, I saw a 3-2.
3-2. Okay, well, boy, I was cheerleading.
Also, my sparring partner for that tournament.
Who was your sparring partner?
Mario Barrios.
Was he?
So yes, Steve sparred with Mario.
Wow.
For the three weeks leading up to the fight.
Yeah, he was for Mario leading up to the fight and Steve going to the tournament.
They give you a couple bucks for that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Just a couple.
Wait, just check it. For training expenses only, though, and transportation, right? Because that's what he used to tell you. They used to give me money, like, enter these tournaments. They get, like, a couple hundred bucks. And I get a couple hundred bucks. Okay. Remember, this was for transportation.
Yeah.
Transportation, remember? Transportation. Hey, from Hayward to San Francisco, $200? Fine. Where did I go? In a limo? Okay. We talked about him a little bit earlier. I think I'll move to 130 pounds. Oscar Valdez, 130-pound WBC champion, beat Burchell on an upset about a few months ago. Maybe fight of the year thus far. What do you think of that?
I really like Oscar Valdez, actually. I've seen the development in his game throughout the champ, his early career and later on to now. He's a warrior for one. He fought with a broken jaw. Like, for most people to understand, that's extremely hard.
that's an understatement,
yeah.
That's an understatement. Like, bro, like, how do you do that? Like, I don't even know. But so for sure, his warrior spirit is there. And his technical skills, they're only getting better, I feel like. He's a serious threat for the 130 division. I would love to see Oscar Valdez face people like Shakur Stevenson.
Oh, I want to see that.
Okay, you brought up Shakur Stevenson a little bit earlier. Shakur is a complete boxer.
Yes, sir.
But he doesn't finish the show. He doesn't look to finish the show. And that last fight he had, I mean, a lot of people were saying, come on. They were expecting that extra drive. He doesn't seem to have that extra drive. Is that going to hurt him, or is it the fact that he can't hurt people at 130 pounds like he could at 126?
I wouldn't even say he couldn't hurt people to say he was hurting people at 26. I never saw a real killer in Shakur. Like, don't get me wrong, he's a beautiful boxer. He executes his game plan and his skills to the most precise level I've probably seen in a while. But He just lacks the X factor, and that's not really something you can give somebody. I think it takes time either for him to develop, or he may or may not just have it.
Eddie Croft, Nanoa Inoue, the bantamweight champion, he's like 21 and zip out of Japan. Usually Japan doesn't produce the super killer fighters. This guy's got a name like Monster, and guess what? He lives up to it.
Yeah, Inoue is pretty awesome. I like him, and what makes him super dangerous is just his fast feet, fast footwork, and his ability to just gauge distance and just, you know, and
that's us boxing, though. You talk about literally gauging distance is the most important thing
right,
in fighting,
right,
don't you think?
Right, right, no, but it's the way he – see, people do it in different ways, you know, like – Mayweather will do it slowly, inches way forward, and then once he gets in position, he'll do more of an upper body motion as opposed to moving his feet, right? Where anyway, he'll move his kind of in the same way that Lomachenko will employs more footwork than upper body and head movement, right? He does have those skills, but he doesn't use it as much as his footwork. Very similar to Inoue. Like he'll use more footwork for defense as opposed to head movement, upper body movement, or even blocking punches. So that's why, you know, he kind of uses his footwork and keeps himself in position and keeps that right hand just locked and loaded. And when, you know, he's getting good position, boom, he lets it fly.
The World Junior Welterweight Champion, of course, Josh Taylor out of the UK. How good is he? He's unbeaten in 18 fights.
He's tight.
Is he the best at 140 right now? That's a yes or no answer.
No, I mean, I don't think he could be Tank.
He's a dog, though.
He is, but I don't think he could be Tank.
You don't think he'd be Tank either?
Beating Tank Davis.
What does it take to beat Tank? I mean, what does it take to be? All right, talk to me. You're going to fight Tank Davis, Stevie. Mm-hmm. How do we fight him?
Right now?
No. I'm not asking the trainer. I'm asking the fighter. How do we fight him?
How do we fight Tank Davis?
Yeah.
That's a hard question, man. I'm not in that situation. That's a hard
just
situation.
Keep him at a distance all
I got a coach
right?
for that. I wouldn't even say that because he can close distance.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that easy to keep him at a distance, right?
That's different.
Can he be dissuaded if you crack him hard?
I think he, you know, just like anybody else. He's a human, you know, just like anybody else. But, you know, the thing that people don't give Tank credit for is his defense. Defensively, the dude is good.
He's pretty sound.
And he keeps himself, and that's what makes him dangerous. He's able to defend and keep himself in position to whack you.
Mm. How good is Devin Haney?
I wouldn't say he's the truth, as most people would say.
Okay, no, the
reason why I snickered is because, like, I think he's good. We just don't know.
We just don't know yet.
I just feel like there's a lot of more questions to be answered.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to fill in. And I'm not saying he's not a bad fighter. I'm just not saying he's not.
He's a badass. We just don't know yet.
Yeah.
Okay. The heavyweight championship is going to go down between Deontay Wilder, former WBC champion, of course, a guy from another guy like from Omaha, Nebraska. Where's he? Like Montgomery, Alabama.
He's from Alabama.
Okay. Anyway, he could sell 19 tickets maybe to his family. Outside of that, he doesn't sell too many tickets.
He's a bigger draw than that.
Him and Tyson Fury are going to hook it up a third time. Okay. Why should this fight be any different than the first two? If you were Deontay Wilder.
From Deontay Wilder, he has a new sense of confidence, a new sense of team, so that's new revenue.
After getting your ass whooped for 19 rounds?
Hey, I'm just trying to make it fair square for him. He got some new team, a new relationship, and a new coach, so maybe he got some new energy flowing in to where he feel like he may be able to change the tides of the fights.
Do you know who Malik Scott is? That's his new trainer.
Yeah.
Malik Scott, he knocked out Malik Scott. It was a fixed fight. Everybody said it was a tank fight when Deontay Wilder fought Malik Scott. And of course, they sort of, I think that was somewhere in Puerto Rico or something like that. So it smelled, if there had been an athletic commission, we'd have been talking about that one afterwards. So let me talk about the other fighters in the 135-pound division. Who stands out right now at 135 besides Teofimo Lopez? This Kambosos guy doesn't have a shot, does he?
I don't think so.
No?
No. I don't really know too much about Kambosos, to be brutally honest with you. But from what I've seen and from what I've did my little homework on him, I don't think he puts up a fair enough fight to beat Teofimo Lopez.
Could Teofimo Lopez beat the Lomachenko that fought last week?
Yes.
You think so, yes. Eddie?
I think so.
Wow. He's that good, huh?
I think so.
He's focused. He's more focused than
You know, the thing is, there is a lot of punches that Teofimo was coming back, counter shots that he was just missing with, you know, in the first fight. And I think, you know, with the gained confidence, he's going to catch him this time.
Well, on that, I want to say thank you, Mr. Steven Johnson. The very best of luck to you as far as your future is concerned, both in and out of the ring. We wish you the very best of luck, without a doubt. You're a classy young man. You're hooked up with this guy here. I got a lot of respect for him. He knows that. We've had our differences over years, but he's the greatest guy in the world when it comes to being in your corner. I mean that on boxing and in life. Eddie Croft's a guy. Anyway, prime time, Eddie Croft. I give you your props. Thank you so much for spending some time with me always, man.
Right on, Pedro.
All right.
Thank you.
Eddie Croft, prime time, Eddie Croft, and Stevie Johnson here in the studios here at Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Back after the break.